Next on MLR Weekly, Seattle Seawolves director of rugby and head coach, Alan Clark. USA Rugby's director of rugby and head coach, Scott Lawrence. Rugby Morning's John Fitzpatrick and Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, neither of which are directors of rugby or head coaches. Rugby Wrap-Ups MLR Weekly brought to you by Sheehy Auto Stores. It's easy at Sheehy. The Pig and Whistle, New York City, the world's best rugby pub. And Lean and Limber, stretching your way to a healthier lifestyle. Welcome back to MLR Weekly, as presented by Rugby Wrap-Up. Matt McCarthy in New York City, thank you for joining us once again. Much appreciated. We have a great show. But before we get to any of that, it's time for our recurring segment, Rugby Morning's Coffee Break, with John Fitzpatrick out of Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, the nation's capital. John, how are you? Welcome. What do you got?
Hey, Matt, thanks for the welcome. Hey, raise your hand if you had NOLA Gold atop the Eastern Conference after 2 weeks. Really, Matt? Please elaborate.
Well, you know what? In the world of the internet, yours truly may or may not have said that I was taking NOLA in the first game against Old Glory, and somehow, with AI or an intern, it got on the internet that I picked Old Glory against NOLA. And, you know, I categorically say that that might not have happened. So, as a consequence, I'm 2-0 in picking NOLA. Next.
Hey, speaking of NOLA Gold, MLR released their first 15 for Week 2. Included one player from the New Orleans squad this time, Dougie Fife. But Matt, you have a puzzled look on your face.
Oh, because I'm looking at the website right now, and it's got four guys from the Gold on the first team yet again, 2 weeks in a row. Oh, wait a minute. They haven't changed the graphic on the website. Continue.
Thank you, Matt. Anyway, I wanted to call out a couple other standout performers in Week 2. How about Oglory DC? Two players in the first 15, Senator Tommaso Boni, and of course, hooker Martin Vaca, who scored a hat-trick in OGDC's big win over New England, snapping their 14-game win streak. Matt, what do you think of Martin Vaca?
Three tries after his team. Come on, they were left for dead a number of times. They were down by 17-0. They were down by 29-14. They just kept coming back, and then the winning at death, the behind three tries of that guy and the kicking. Oh, just come on. How you doing? Next.
Johnny rolled the tape. Matt, I don't know if you saw the early contention for a try of the season, but that had to be RFCLA scrum half. Niles Saunders with the tap and go, kicking Chase Dotting down right in the goal line. It was a thing of beauty. Did you see it?
Nice try. And he's been around the block and back in the MLR. He's bounced around a little bit. He's a good, solid player. He's a good addition for that LA team that is going to gel and have a decent year. You heard it here first. Next.
Matt, I know you're talking to USA Eagles head coach Scott Lawrence later in the episode, so I'm just going to call out quickly here Sam Gala, Mitch Wilson, and also Ben Bonasso. They each scored a try in Week 2.
Hala hala for Gala Gala. Right. On that note, anything else, John?
Matt, that's it. Good luck in Week 3, the Fantasy Rutgers, because I did beat you in Week 2.
All right. Well, you know, again, it's a marathon, not a sprint. On that note, I want to thank Mr. John Fitzpatrick. Don't go away, ladies and gentlemen, because now we have the best recap in Major League Rugby with yours truly. First up, on a sun-splashed Saturday in Quincy, Massachusetts, the defending champion Free Jacks had their home opener before a raucous and rowdy crowd of boisterous Bostonians. And visiting Old Glory looked anything but glorious as the home team sprinted to a 17-0 lead. Indeed, the team from the nation's capital found themselves down 29-14 and then again 34-21, and all looked lost for the 15 USA-eligible players on their match day 23. But then somebody called for a martini vodka, or was it Martin Vodka? And the burly hookers scored three tries. Jason Robertson was perfect from the tee, converting all five conversions, including the game winner at death, despite an impossible and unfathomable duress. DC wins the thriller 35-34. In the outskirts of Salt Lake City, the Utah Warriors bounced back from a disappointing week one with a solid and decisive victory over the visiting Chicago Hounds. The Windy City side may still have been saturated from the soaking Miami rain they played in last week, and the Mountain People took full advantage. Bailey Wilson and Paul Lasique were absolute beasts, and Jesse Hamilton got his first big league try. The Hounds once again had their best center at fly half, and that may come back to, wait for it, fight them. To the Big Easy, where the NOLA Gold were hosting the Anthem from Carolina. The hosts improved to 2-0 and were bolstered by a strong first half as they chased that elusive first ever playoff spot. The visitors from Charlotte once again showed their grit and showed flashes of things to come, but dropped to 2-0 on the season. 34-19 NOLA. The Pacific Northwest, where people continue to confuse Bigfoot with Rickard Hatting, was the setting for Major League Rugby's inaugural Fishbowl trademark between the Miami Sharks and the host Seattle Seawolves. And it was Mack the Knife Mason who gutted Miami with 17 points to offset the 20 penalties Seattle collected in another Starfire Stadium battle. Final score, 29-18. At Choctaw Stadium in Arlington, Texas, the Jackals showed that they are indeed a team to be taken seriously. They gave a very talented and deep San Diego side all they could handle, but crafty veterans like Ma'anau and Marcel Brocky steered the Legion to their first win and a huge sigh of relief. Final score, 30-23. In Carson, California, those cats from Houston came in to play RFLCA, or RFCLA, in another Western Conference contest. A seesaw battle saw the Sabercats finally take control, but not until we saw some stellar tries disallowed and 1,210 meters kicking from LA's Dan Hollinshead and Houston's Drew Wild. That is a lot. Final score, 27-12. Whew. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Digs like a demented mole there.
Need a great price on a new vehicle? Sheehy makes it easy. Easy Price shows you our lowest prices on the Mid-Atlantic's largest selection. Find your best price online or at any of our 31 dealerships.
It's easy at Sheehy. Sheehy.com.
You need your cleats? You need them tomorrow? If you order today by 3 p.m. New York time or noon L.A. time, they can have them to you tomorrow. Young, old, male, female, if you're playing on turf, if you're playing on grass, if you're playing in the rain, you're playing in the heat, they've got you covered. RugbyNow.com. Go there now.
And we're back with Scott Lawrence, who is now the head coach and general manager of the USA Men's 15s program. Scott, welcome back to MLR Weekly.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Scott, people are going to say, what's he doing on the MLR Weekly show? Well, the MLR Weekly deals with MLR stars and future stars, and you happen to be in charge of a whole bunch of them. And right now you got an exciting kind of thing coming up for the under 20s.
Yeah, we do. It's the 20s are getting ready to play Canada twice, June 1st and June 8th on Victoria Island. And it's for qualification to the Junior World Trophy, which will be in Scotland the first 2 weeks of July. So it's a big time for us. If we think about that group and how they project, you know, they'll be right in that sweet spot, 26, 27 years old when we hit the home World Cup. So we've got a great crop and we're really behind them this year again.
You know, just for the people at home that are like me, when you say U20s, it doesn't really dawn on you that you're talking about 19-year-olds, you're talking about teenagers. 19, 18, et cetera, and yeah. They have this experience, and you're charged with handling them.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a great staff that's together. Neithling Herica is the head coach there, and Elvis Savelli is his assistant coach. So we've got a good group together in terms of coaches, and they had a winter camp already. I've identified the top 50 players at that age group. And the thing that stood out to me is that there is five tens in that group of 50, right? So if we think about it, AJ McGinty is the only starting professional 10. that we have right now across the globe. And so this is a big deal in terms of projection and what we want to get into the professional game and ultimately the Eagles. I think the big thing to note here is with this group, is there potential for an expansion. So the Junior World Trophy is the kind of the second tier that you can play in U20s. And then there's the Junior World Championship, which is the top 12. And, you know, if you want to get into the Junior World Trophy, you have to do this travel and qualify each year. You could be together for 2 weeks. You could be together for 8 weeks. It depends on your results. And by going up to the Junior World Championship, you don't have to do that. You actually have to stay up. It's promotion and relegation. But
right.
This is a big opportunity for us to get up into the top tier and to stay there. And if we think about our projection of the Eagles up until 2031, playing against the best 12 teams in the world at the U20 age for the next 7 years is a big piece of the preparation that's required.
So how about the synergy between the anthem and the team in the MLR and your U20s?
There's three U20s that will be in the team this year that are playing at the anthem. Two of them have been starting both weeks. So Dylan Fortune and Braymar Murray have both started in the MLR. Further, I think we've seen Seth Smith has gotten some time off the bench in Houston. He's another U20.
18.
Yeah. Pretty young. Fear for the kid's safety, but yeah. But again, each week. And then I think, you know, we have Corbin Smith, who, you know, came and played for Gloucester last weekend on the wing. Kid from Ohio, went over, you know, to Europe, and now he started for Gloucester in a friendly against Bath. So this is a very talented group and an exciting group.
And how about the senior team?
We'll be playing two test matches in July against Romania and Scotland. That'll be in Chicago and D.C., so I'm pretty excited about that. And then we'll play Canada on the 31st of August in L.A., and then we head to Japan, and we'll play Japan there. And then kind of it's a win-loss bracket, so it's a tournament. So Fiji, Samoa, and Tonga on the other side, and we'll see what the remaining two games are from there. And then November we take off and we go to Spain, and we'll play Portugal, Spain, and Tonga in Portugal and Spain. So we've got a really full calendar. And the way that this fits together, Matt, is last year we did this with the 20s. And because of all their time together, I got to see a player like Dom Bisag and Stefan Krimp. And that Dom ended up rolling straight from the 20s into the senior team and getting capped. It's a big part of what we're trying to achieve. And if you think about it, this another player like Dom could go put his hand up in this Junior World Trophy, get selected, be on a plane to Japan,
yeah,
be in Spain in the fall, and all of a sudden those international experiences that he needs to develop are there. So it's a pretty exciting progression.
I'm feeling a buzz here, man. This is a USA Rugby buzz that I haven't felt since ever.
Yeah.
No, I felt this when we beat Scotland, right, in Houston. Yeah. Felt yeah. Great, you know. There have been some moments, but now this seems to be a moment where it's different because we're building now.
Yeah, absolutely. We're tying the pieces together, and college programs have been great in interacting with us both on the 20s, but also in players that are, you know, kind of coming of age and, you know, building a depth chart out in the collegiate game. So we have the players. Now it's about the vehicles and the alignment,
yeah,
and getting them opportunities, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I keep going back to this 20s because I'm just hoping, you know, I watch them intently, go spend time with them, and who's the next one? Who's going to be the next Dom? Who's going to be the next Threaten Palamo that comes up early and, you know, is going to be a two World Cup Eagle for us? And so it's a you know, pretty exciting time.
Well, I'm stoked, and I appreciate you taking the time coming out. If anything that we can do, just let us know. Talk it up, whatever. We're here for you.
No, I appreciate that. And if you want to get on the mission, go to usa.rugby/donate. Click donate. Choose the 20s, the men's 20s from the list. And anything and everything that comes in I'm the sole owner of that, and I see it and make sure it goes to the 20s, so it'll go directly into the journey for these young players.
Thank you, Scott, for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Before we bring in head coach Alan Clark of the Seattle Seawolves, let's go to our MLR Weekly Play of the Week, brought to you by therugbynetwork.com. The quick tap chip and chase clinic put on by LA's Niall Saunders, the nifty number 9, caught Houston catnapping and showcased his dynamic athletic ability. Hey kids, that's how you make magic from sound practice fundies, which is the hip way of saying fundamentals. Up in Seattle, number 11, Jade Stickling, grabbed our attention. Some call him the Stig, others call him Sanchez. We're calling him Explosive, as he ran over and threw a toothless Sharks defense for a try that had Rucky the Seawolf wet behind the ears. It's on the teleprompter, so it must be true. In the shadows of Boston, how about Jason Robertson of Old Glory, D.C.? Have you ever been on the wrong side of Boston sports fans? F-bombs are G-rated up there. No probs for J-Robs. Trademark, as his money kick capped an epic free jack collapse and a daunting D.C. win. Honorable mention this week, Old Glory, D.C. owner Chris Dunleavy hopping the fence in jubilation and not tearing his groin or pants. Well done, C-Duns. Trademark. And the winner of this week's MLR Weekly Play of the Week, brought to you by therugbynetwork.com, is Niall Saunders of L.A. with his Fundies Clinic. Now let's bring in head coach Alan Clark of the Seattle Seawolves. Coach, welcome back to MLR Weekly.
Thanks, Matt. It's great to be back on with you.
Alan, before we start talking about the present, I wanted to go back a little bit and talk about your history and your resume or CV. 8 caps for Ireland as a hooker. You're from Dungannon, which is up north, and we learned off camera that my grandfather is from Sheshkinshul, which is about a 19-mile drive northwest of you, which basically means we're related somehow.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful, actually. I've learned something today because I didn't know where Sheshkinshul was until our previous conversation. So, yeah, small world indeed, and I'm sure the connections you have with Ireland are strong in your family. So, yeah, I'm delighted to be a relative of yours, Matt.
Obviously, you started playing at school, I think you said to me, but you ended up playing for your province, Ulster. You won a European Cup, which is now the Investec Champions Cup, right?
Yeah.
You also played for Saints, Northampton Saints, in the what is now the Premiership. But what I was looking at was, as a player, you were involved when it finally became professional in 1996. So you transitioned. So it's a parallel of sorts to what we have here.
When I was playing at what we thought was the top of the game in the amateur era, with some what would be renowned as world-class players nowadays, who never earned any money. So there are a lot of better players than myself and others who just missed out in the professional era, but we still conducted ourselves in a professional manner. And our Amy Geegan was coaching me at the time at Northampton Saints. And I remember him saying that professionalism is nothing to do with money. It's how you conduct yourself in life. And it's, you know, I've held on to that. It's great advice for everybody if you want to make it in sport, because when you're starting out in those early years, you're not guaranteed to make it, but you're guaranteed to give yourself the best possible opportunity if you're professional in how you approach every day, your training, your nutrition, your lifestyle. But yeah, I suppose in 1995, in that summer, 94-95, you know, there were some conversations in around the group that there were possibly different formats and breakaways leading into a professional league, not a professional game. But that whole transition and growth of the game happened overnight. And really the game, you know, the game, the clubs weren't prepared for it. International teams weren't prepared for it. If I look at how Ireland conduct their business now and the facilities that they train in and play out of and the crowds that they have, and the professional game in Ireland, the crowds that they have compared to when I was first playing for Ulster. The numbers are actually greater here in the USA.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially at Starfire. I mean, you guys have a good thing going there. So did it just change overnight?
It wasn't even semi-pro, it was amateur. And then in those first years of professionalism, most people, there was so much uncertainty that people retained their jobs. So the training program allowed for you to work during the day. And then within 2 years, I suppose, it went fully professional. Professionalism it probably got beyond itself in the, you know, in Europe, particularly in the UK. But now it's finding its level. And there's
having a correction, as they say, a market correction, yeah, sort of.
A market correction or readjustment. And that's why I think there'd be more players looking at the MLR, because the package that players are provided is comparative. We did it for the love of the game because we'd come through that era of doing it for the love of the game. And I work with players here every day who commit a lot for, you know, modest earnings, for the love of the game and for the opportunity to play for the Sea Wolves and to play in the MLR and to go on and hopefully attain a USA Eagles jersey, because they have that ambition. So some of the ambition I see in some of our younger players now takes me back to those early 90s when that was my mindset. I wanted to play for Ireland and I worked hard to play for Ireland.
Now you're the director of rugby and head coach of Seattle, a very successful franchise in MLR right out of the gate. Is there anything that's nagging you about what you got to do better?
There are particular elements of our game that have been excellent. And there are other elements of our game where we know we can do better. The beauty is that we know that growth exists within our player group. I think it's important to recognize that in our first two games, we've capped 16, 17 new players. So we're very much a new squad as well. But the way the boys have come together has been fantastic. I make no bones about it. The Everest for me, or the pinnacle for me, is winning the Shield. And if I didn't have that aspiration, I wouldn't continue as a coach.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got up early to come on, and that's much appreciated. So at the very least, we'll have to meet in Sheshkin Shul and have a beverage of choice on me.
Love to, Matt. All the best. And yeah, look forward to seeing you later in the season.
All right. Thank you to Mr. Alan Clark of the Seattle Seawolves. We'll be right back after this.
I wouldn't like to be at the bottom of that.
If you're in New York City and want to watch some great rugby, have some great food, and some great times, go to the world's best rugby pub, the Pig and Whistle on West 36th Street.
This is the Rugby Odds, where an unlikely pundit panel of a wordsmith, a WWE legend, a rugby star, and a supermodel scour the globe, seeking best bets and bad behavior. Are you not entertained? Fans, you can tune into every match live on Flow Rugby. How do we know that? Because we're on there all the time. And we're back, and once again we have Mr. Brian Ray of America's Rugby News with his own handle, Ray's Rugby, on X and Twitter. Brian, welcome back to MLR Weekly. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm hanging my head a little bit in shame after my selections last week. Had a great first week, perfect. This last week, not so much.
Well, it wasn't easy. You know, we had some up and down results. We had some shock results. Before I keep talking, why don't we get your opinion? Give me things that surprised you this weekend.
Well, I'm sitting here in Utah wearing my Utah hat mainly because of that impressive performance that they put in. Really, wow, Chicago, pretty underwhelming, you'd have to say. They're a pretty stacked side and against a very depleted and beaten up Utah team. And Utah showed a lot of ticker, as they like to say in New Zealand out there. And I thought they played really well. So that was a surprise.
Let's go to what Brian Ray thinks of the upcoming matches as per our rugby wrap-up spreads that we've come up with. Here we go, Brian. First game up, New England coming off a loss back at home versus NOLA.
NOLA, all of a sudden, 2-for-2. You know, I didn't think they looked super sharp. They had a great first half against Anthem, and then they kind of went to sleep. Maybe they just took their foot off the pedal and figured it was job done. Tough one to go to Quincy, especially after the Freeze X just blew that one. They absolutely should have won. I'm going to go with New England to get it right in this one. I think it'll be a good game, though. I think this will be a tough one, but I'll go with the Free Jacks.
Old Glory -3 hosting Chicago.
Chicago absolutely underperforming with the talent they have. I absolutely do not agree with Billy Meeks at 10. I think that's complete insanity to take the best 12.
You don't like your best center playing 10?
The best center in MLR is now the worst 10 in MLR. What are you doing, Sam Harris? I implore you to put him back where he belongs. I just can't agree with that selection at all. I just can't get behind that selection. Old Glory wins that one.
Houston at home -7 versus Miami.
Yeah, Houston's pack just looks so menacing right now. They're playing really well. Davey Kutz are on fire. Go with Houston.
San Diego -6 versus LA. Battle of the freeway.
Yeah, San Diego's starting to look a little bit better after the disappointment in Seattle. I'm not sold on LA just yet, so we'll go with San Diego.
Okay, Carolina versus Dallas. Dallas -10 on the road in Charlotte.
I'm going to go with Dallas. You might get a little scared about the spread maybe there, but I think Dallas is looking pretty sharp right now. I'm going to go with Dallas, the hot hand. They didn't win, but they made a game of it against San Diego.
If they win, they'll be 2-1, and you can see how you can turn an organization around in short order in the MLR, right? Utah hosting Seattle. Seattle -3 as the road favorites.
Tough one to pick, but I think those injuries that Utah got in that win over Chicago are going to hurt them a bit, and Seattle's the hottest team in the league right now. I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
Now it's time for our TRO, the Rugby Odds, MLR Pick of the Week with WWE Hall of Famer turned rugby advocate John Bradshaw Layfield and King Gifte Bailu, the inventor of words.
San Diego and LA, I think San Diego at home, they are going to beat LA by more than the points. Should be a really good game.
Look for New Orleans to actually cover the -5 spread and demoralize a New England team that wants to win and feel that pressure.
Brian, final thoughts.
Here we are, 2 weeks in, already some unexpected results. Love to see it, so looking forward to see what we find out in week 3.
All right, on that note, I want to thank Mr. Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, Mr. John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning, Mr. Scott Lawrence, Seattle Seawolves Director of Rugby and Head Coach Alan Clark. And thank you for tuning in. Please check out our other shows, including the critically acclaimed The Rugby Odds, the College Rugby Wrap-Up. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Please sign up for our newsletter, and please join our American Red Cross Blood Donor Team.